And welcome back. This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. Franklin's Stash House is the first black-owned brand sold at a dispensary in Missouri, and it's made by a Kansas City cannabis company. A co-founder of the company is saying that what matters is what happens from here. It's time, he said, to put in the work and show the market and the culture what we're about. But should the cannabis industry be concerned with diversity, what difference does it really make? With us to kick this around are the two co-founders of Franklin's Stash House. They are Michael Wilson. Mike, nice to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Ronald Rice is also here. Ron, good to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Ron, I want to be clear here. This is a black-owned brand, but it's not exclusively black-owned. Explain that to our audience.
Well, this is a black-white brand.
Let me get your microphone turned on here. Yeah, go ahead. You're on now. Yeah.
Yes, it's a black-white brand. Pretty much, go ahead and speak on the mic.
I mean, you know, we look at it this way. A lot of there's semantics to the term black-owned, especially depending on what industry or what business you're in.
But if you're 50% black-owned in this business, it's going to count as black-owned, right?
Well, I mean, unless there's a bunch of people out there that want to debate it, and I'm happy to debate it. But in our world, you know, when you talk about social equity programs, like in Illinois, you know, it's a 51%. And you talk about the past, much like the music business.
Yeah.
You know, the past of what percentage of ownership was in a dispensary or cultivation facility was 5 to 10%.
Right.
There was very – today, there's not as many brands like us out here that have, you know, organically found a relationship between two people. And made a 50-50 partnership. And so we look at ourselves as black-owned, but we also look at ourselves as a white-owned brand. You know, I mean, we call ourselves a lot like a Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre, you know? I mean,
right.
You know, we happen to be a black-owned brand, but that's not, you know, that's not our lead banner on what Franklin's Stash House is, you know, is as a brand.
You know, Ron, how did you get started in the cannabis business? I think your long friendship maybe has something to do with it here with Mike.
Well, yeah, exactly. Mike was the one who kind of introduced me to the cannabis business. But far as being in the music business, it's kind of the same parallel.
Mm-hmm.
So, I didn't really get a start with Mike until, what, about 9 months ago?
Well, I mean, I guess you got to look a little bit back at it, right? People, it's weird to see a 50-some-year-old black guy and a 30-some-year-old white guy together in the weed business.
Right.
But, you know, we managed a rapper years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back 15 years ago, we came together to build a project for a guy in town named Casey Young Boss. We've been friends for... I mean, he DJ'd my first wedding,
15, 20
he was
years,
at my second wedding. He was been a part of my life. He's at my son's birthday party. So it's just, you know, we've been friends, right? And, you know, when I got the opportunity to work with Greenlight to, you know, pursue medical marijuana in the state of Missouri, I saw an opportunity to create a brand.
What's Greenlight? Right?
Greenlight is the biggest cannabis brand in the state of Missouri. They have, you know, multiple licenses. They're the big boys. You know, they've earned it, but they're the
big
boys. And
they've taken Franklin's Stash House on as a product yourself.
Yeah, you know, that's where I got my start in the cannabis business, was the guys at Greenlight. I worked with them, you know, a year ago in their business, and then I saw an opportunity to go create this, you know, blunt brand. And it largely stems from the time that Rice and I spent together understanding, you know, how the culture worked and functioned. And, you know, Rice gave me a really good Sherpa experience into the black community. I mean, I grew up in suburbia, and, you know, meeting him, he brought me in and treated me, you know, as an equal. And I started to understand and learn and experience this other culture. And I fell in love with it. I mean, what's not to like?
Ron, how did you get from the music industry to the cannabis business? Is there a connection between the two?
Well, basically, yeah. I mean, the music game is pretty much the same in the cannabis space. Like we say, we kind of bounce back and forth like Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre. So my experience with the music has taught me how to kind of understand what the cannabis business is about.
Did you always plan to go into the cannabis business at some point?
No, I never planned to go into it. You know, but being locked up behind a cannabis, a nonviolent crime, and laws changing now, it's given me an opportunity to get into the business and understanding it now, saying, oh, I got an opportunity to do what was against the law before. So,
are you becoming a role model?
I won't say a role model, but I would say an example, you know, for what's possible, you know, and coming from where I come from, a lot of people in the culture needs to see that.
Mm-hmm. You know, you said that you were really influenced by the culture. What do you mean by that?
Music.
Mm-hmm.
Music is the culture. And it takes you right to the same same direction it does in the cannabis business.
Yeah.
So what I mean is the experiences that I had with the music are almost the same.
Yeah.
Far as the business side of it. And I keep my ears to the streets with the DJs and production. So
and we were just talking about that in the car because, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of people ask me, how am I a part of this culture?
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and label the culture, right? Cannabis culture, you know, is it black culture? Is it music culture? I mean, we're taking both of our backgrounds and our culture and mashing it together into this cannabis brand, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's been cool to, you know, look at and explore each other's cultures and make something creatively mm-hmm. that comes out of our time together and our experiences and the way we look at the world. And that's a large part about what, you know, like Franklin's is, right? I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's us coming together to make a statement creatively about what's possible.
Like create a brand new album.
Yeah, why is important? In the industry is known as being dominated by white people. Why is it important to shake that up, Ron?
Well, because we're not expected to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
why is that?
Well, financially. It's a big piece of it, and you know
that's always been the issue with so many people of color getting the capital they need to get into business. We've talked about that on this program any number of times,
right? And you know, for me, I got a successful trucking business. I've been successful as a DJ, a producer. So, getting together with Mike and understanding that we can have an effect in this business. And it doesn't actually have to be black or white, but being that I am black, I actually show up. So mm-hmm. that's the importance I see for it. It's an example that these are the possibilities of what could happen,
mm-hmm.
especially coming from my background.
Mike, tell me about Franklin's Stash House. What distinguishes it from anything else? What is it exactly?
Defining Franklin's, we like to say Franklin's is a cross-cultural cannabis brand. And I say that because from the game that we're playing and the world that we're in, we've got big visions and big picture for what we want to do. So while today you may go to a Fave Trip convenience store, a Green Light dispensary, and pick up a hemp blunt, which is not the same as marijuana, but you go to pick up a hemp blunt, we have a lot of things in the work. Everything from, you know, a collaborative brand on a pre-roll to marijuana flower to we will hopefully someday own our own dispensary. So
what's a marijuana? What's a flower? Help people understand what we're talking about.
Sure. When you grow
here.
A cannabis plant and, you know, you cut it down, most people are used to, you know, in the 70s and 80s smoking, you know, out of a joint. Inside that joint is ground up cannabis flower. It's a, you know, a dense looking thing that's a sister of the hops plant. So, you know, a lot like, you know, how, you know, beer gets made.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks, you know, like this flower, you grind it up and it has a content in it called THC, and that's what gets you high. But it also has a lot of really good medicinal stuff in it, and 134 other cannabinoids, and we're now learning about it.
So Franklin Stash House is not anything that's going to get you high. It's a medicinal product?
Today it is a medicinal product. Now, that's not to say that we won't be into products that will get you high. We'd love to be in that category. I mean, mm-hmm. it's a fun part of it. But today we are the medicinal side of what cannabis looks
like. Is one product just like the next when it comes to this world? I mean, why would I buy Franklin Stash House as opposed to a different brand?
I mean, the magic's in the sauce. I mean, you know, I mean,
is that what it is?
Why is Arthur Bryant's barbecue different than Gates barbecue? You know, some exactly. people like Gates, some people like AB's. We're going to debate that every time we go to it. It's the same thing when you get into marijuana, you get into hemp. There's just some magic, whether it be brand or it be that extra specials touch or whatever they do about it. What really separates our brand apart is we're obsessing over it and treating it like that
mm-hmm.
to where we really want to make an outstanding product that people love and go, yeah, I guess the magic is in the sauce.
You know, Ron, how complex is the medical marijuana industry in Missouri? It seems like there's a new state law there. There's all these rules, lots of competition. How complex is this industry right now in Missouri?
It's pretty complex, and it's a lot of competition.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, dispensaries are not even fully on board yet. But Mike,
there's 192, I believe 192. I'm rounding right. numbers. 192 total dispensaries approved in the state.
Right.
About
there's a cap on it. That's what the law calls it.
Right.
Correct. And you know, to do that, you had to have a lot of financial requirements to get into it. And we have to appreciate that the state of Missouri is inventing an industry. You know, so nobody's done this in the state before. So you got to put regulatory environments together, checks and systems, the whole nine yards. So yes, it's more expensive in the very beginning to start, but as the from an environment, you got to compare, you got to take a step back and look at what other states' regulatory environments are like and where their market's at. Right now, Missouri's being put in a list of, this could be a top 10 market for the entire country.
Why would that be, given that we don't sell recreational marijuana here, we're limited to the medicinal side?
It eventually gets there. So, you know, you start with medical and you get it figured out, and then you start opening the market more. You know, you don't just go to an open free market, you got to figure that out, right? And you know, Missouri is a state that everybody apparently likes their marijuana. I mean, it's a heavy consuming state. Our regulatory environment is open enough that it allows for more medical marijuana patients than almost any other state. Hmm. We have to almost 200,000. You know, you go look at any other medical marijuana state, that's more than most.
Mm-hmm. Is recreational marijuana in the offing here in Missouri, Ron, as you look down the road? Are we going to see recreational marijuana at some point?
Oh, I do believe we will, yeah.
You have a lot of lawmakers in Jeff City who are saying, not over my dead body.
Yeah, we'll see about that. Power right. to the people, right? I mean, it takes – let's look at it this way. Cannabis has been the longest form of peaceful protest, I think, in mankind's history. You know, I mean, as long as the people go out there and they sign those ballots and they vote for this, legislators have to make action. You know, it's different than how legislative.
You're talking about the petition process going along around the General Assembly to get this done.
And let's not forget, this is a huge revenue maker for the state. You know, so everybody's involved here. This has an opportunity. The people want it. Businesses want to get involved with it, and there's being money spent, and rightfully so. The state now has a new revenue stream that can be applied towards all sorts of things.
And what you're referring to, Mike, is the idea there is a petition being circulated around the state right now to get recreational marijuana back on the ballot in front of voters.
Yes, and that is a, you know, that is a conversation we want to hear more about out there, because you know, while a legislator may say over my dead body, that's still up to a lot more than just one individual.
The recreational marijuana initiative calls for that law to go into effect in 2022, I believe. So we're still a year away. You know, Ron, what about the federal legislation that Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is talking about out of New York to legalize recreational marijuana?
I think he's got a good proposal to bring to the table. And New York would be pretty much an example for the federal government to kind of open the doors for everybody. All the way across the board.
Is it legal? Is recreational marijuana legal there?
Not yet. They're working on that now.
Just rolling that out. You know, I mean, the thing I think is important for people to understand about, we're not heading towards necessarily marijuana legalization. We're heading towards marijuana decriminalization and a state's rights thing.
So, what's the difference?
Legalize it. The state says it's legal. You can go do what you want with it. Now you have a federal state issue, depending, you know, of law, suits, all this stuff. They're basically saying, look, states, I get that you've protested and you've done this on your own. We're going to keep giving you the right to do what you want in your own state. We're going to take a tax on it because we want to take a tax on it. And we need to put some systems in place. So what you're looking at is Kansas may never have medical marijuana. They have the right under where this Chuck Schumer direction is going to say, we don't want marijuana in this state. But that is kind of the complex issue in this is states' rights versus federal intervention. You know, who's getting a cut of what? You know, how do you control it? How do you fix lawsuits? It's a very complex system, but totally unprecedented for a new industry to create like this out of thin air.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Up to Date. We're talking this morning about Franklin's Stash House. It's the first black-owned brand sold at a dispensary in Missouri. It's made by a Kansas City cannabis company. If you want to join our conversation, 816-235-2888, or you can tweet us at KCUR Up to Date. Is the industry off to a good start, the medical marijuana industry off to a good start in Missouri, Ron?
Yeah,
how do you see it?
I think it is. And, you know, Greenlight was one of the leaders to start it off and giving us an opportunity to be having a shine.
Why did Greenlight agree to let you guys sell your product at their stores?
I think they believed in the brand. Mike had an opportunity to work with them. And I just think they believed in the brand and gave us an opportunity to bring it to the market.
Does race even matter in the cannabis industry? Should anybody care?
No, I don't.
I mean,
think
I have a different opinion. Right?
I don't think it should.
Yeah,
but yes, it does, because, like I said, you don't see black and brown. You know, mm-hmm. So when you actually see it, it's like, oh wow, these guys, who are they? You know.
Yeah.
So
This is a lot of conversation that we have in this company is about, you know, race back and forth.
Why do you think why do you think it matters, Mike? What's the deal?
I mean, it matters because, quite frankly, whether or not of whatever my opinion is, it matters apparently in the public sector. You know, when you're looking at the regulatory environments that are being created and the push towards, you know, social economic equalities, you know, it's a conversation that's being put in front of us that needs to be addressed, you know, and I don't have the right answers for it. You know, we're just trying to do what we think is right in the business. But it has become, and I say it's important to look at because it's becoming more of a topic, just like anything. Mm-hmm. The more people start talking about it, the more it becomes important. And this is one of those that's bubbling up. You know, what should people care about? Should people care about it? You know, this big question that is yet to be answered.
Ron, how much money do you guys have tied up in this thing? How big of a risk are you taking?
We've got several thousands of dollars tied up in this, and it's a big risk.
Where are you actually manufacturing Franklin's Stash House?
We actually do it out the warehouse on Roanoke.
Mm-hmm. Down off Southwest Boulevard.
Southwest Boulevard here in Kansas City.
Complicated process?
Yes, but no. We figured out that process.
Describe it to me. What do you have to do?
Well, you know, we our process is taking the ground CBG and the CBD and fluffing it, is what we call it, and putting it into a box and allows it to go into the blunts and packs the blunts firmly. And then we sit.
And a blunt is what?
A blunt is a shell, and it's a it's not tobacco, but it's a wrap that holds the hemp flavor.
Okay.
And we pack it in that blunt for you to smoke. It's a pre-roll.
What is the medicinal value of your product? What does it do for people? How does it help them?
There's two parts for medicinally of where, you know, how our product works. When you talk about CBD and hemp flower, you know, I can't make any medical claims, but what people are reporting is a decrease in inflammation. Now, that may result to you in reduction of anxiety. It may result to you in a better feeling and less, you know, pain reduction. Inflammation is a big controlling in our body. You know, so for...
And this happens without you feeling like you're getting high.
That's exactly right. It's like alcohol to non-alcoholic if non-alcoholic had a medicinal benefit to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has that feeling to it. Now, if you mix hemp with marijuana, which is totally legal to do, you shift a high from your mind to your body, and it's like what a lot of people are looking for. I mean, marijuana is now getting up to 35-40% THC content. And, you know, someone like my dad says, oh, I smoked a lot of doobies in the 60s and 70s. That was 5%. You know, mm-hmm. So you're talking about, you know, go put someone of that age in that group in a dispensary at a 35-40% THC product. If you don't have some CBD in it, it's going to be this, you know, really big mind high that's maybe not the best place for them to go. And CBD helps bring that into the body. And it's stuff that we're learning. You know, we haven't been able to legally, you know, test this stuff from a research standpoint on a federal level, and that's now what they're allowing companies to do. So all these things that are myths and beliefs and things of the past are now starting to be proved clinically, you know, and through scientific research. So you know, the medicinal benefits that are there today may be drastically different, you know, 5 years from now as we learn more about the product and more information comes out.
I mean, how much of the medicinal benefit has been proven scientifically? What do we know about the analysis that's been done on products like Franklin Stash House?
We know that all vertebrates have a thing called an endocannabinoid system, which most of us don't even know exists.
Right.
Cannabinoids are what THC, CBD, and all these other things are, and they interact with our body. And we can prove that they do that, and in many studies we can prove which ones do what to our body. So you know, we do know, and state governments know, that there's a lot of medicinal benefits for everything from, you know, MS to pain reduction to you know, appetite. There's a lot of benefits that have been clinically proven, and more to come.
You know, Mike from Mission wants to know who's doing the prescribing for medical marijuana, and is the FDA regulating it?
FDA does not regulate it, and that's a large part of the problem between states' rights versus federal.
Should it regulate it?
I mean, that's a tough question because you know, the state's doing a good job. Right now, the DHSS regulates it in the state of Missouri. And it's depending on which state you go to is which regulatory body oversees it. But, you know, when you're talking about prescribing, doctors, whether those be cannabis doctors or what, anyone that's capable of prescribing can give you a prescription to go to the state.
So my family doctor could give me one.
And I say that, but there's a lot of, you know, they have to look at, and some of them may not be willing to because you know, there's liabilities and this complex legal system behind it, right? Do you want to be liable for this?
Why is there a liability attached to it?
Well, I mean, we live in America and everybody sues somebody for something, you mm-hmm. know? I mean, it's...
The product, someone might think the product didn't do what I thought it was going to do, and so I'm going to sue Mike.
My doctor prescribed me medical marijuana and interacted with my depression drug, and, you know, my son killed himself. You know, I mean, that is a scenario that could be. My wife's a pharmacist. I hear things interacting with drugs all the time. So yeah. To not understand or appreciate medical marijuana in relation to your current prescriptions is a big legal risk for a doctor. You know, so in the state of Missouri, I feel out of seeing multiple states, we want a really good environment. It is very. I mean, they are very. They're tighter than what FDA's oversight and regulation is. They're involved in these businesses every single day. That's something the FDA just can't do.
The product, again, is called Franklin Stash House. I want to thank the co-owners of this brand, Mike Wilson and Ron Rice. Gentlemen, thanks for coming in. Thanks for sharing your views. Much appreciated.
Thank you for having us.